Smart Pack.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 2nd, 2012, episode 329, sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. Good morning, horse world.
Hey, we're
good
today.
Good morning.
Yay.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
I know it's supposed to be me that's supposed to start talking right now. Sorry, I was a little bit busy. Eventing Nation has come up with a new website called Sport Horse Nation or Horse Nation, and it's like all over. And I'm looking at the $5.1 million barn that they have listed, Glenn. Not listed for sale.
I didn't see that.
Oh my gosh, if you go to horsenation.com, on the front, it'll say Barbie's Dream Barn, and just click on that. It's a $5.1 million barn that they have listed. So between it's pretty. It looks like a mansion. You have to realize that there's horses in there. But they were going to make the top part of the barn, the groom's quarters. They ended up making it so big and ostentatious that they live in it. Because it just turned into a really nice house.
Oh, look at the wash stall. There's a picture of, like, the wash stall.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's like, you know, when they lay stone on top of one another and, like, stack stone wash stalls. That's crazy. It's beautiful, though. Wow. I'm just, between that and I'm on currently also on discovereventing.com, going down the complete event checklist. Because I leave after this show, and I've literally spent all day packing yesterday. From the time we got done with the show, organizing, packing, cleaning tack, I've got a gag bit that I had to put together for Jet. He's going to use one on cross country so he doesn't pull me out of the saddle. So I had to put that together. I couldn't figure that out. It's like taking pieces apart. All I did yesterday was clean and pack. So I'm going through the eventing checklist right now, and I have 6 things that I've written on my hand that I haven't done yet.
You know, it's always harder, too, when it's the first show of the year. It's always more difficult to pack because everything's scattered from the last season, and you just have to gather everything together again, and then it gets easier every show after that. But boy, that first show of the year, you're right, it's just a pain in the butt.
Well, and it's just the first show of the year, and it's also in a new trailer, you know, where I had everything all perfect in my tiny little junky trailer, and now I've got, like, all this space and places to put it, but I'm so used to having everything kind of crammed in one little, muck tub to carry somewhere. So on my hand, I've got raincoat, buckets, pitchfork, chair, my shoes, because I didn't pack any shoes. I just realized that as I'm looking at this list. And ice. I got him new shoes yesterday, dear God. Drilled in half and everything.
Do you have your girth packed? The thing, when we used to have the mobile unit and used to go out to shows, the thing that people forgot the most was their girth.
Really?
Yeah. So double check that.
I have both my girths. I remember when I was a kid, I went to a Hunter Jumper show, and I forgot his water buckets and his girth. I was like, those are kind of important items.
We were always amazed. We always kept a lot of girths on the trailer because people would just forget their girth. It was great for us because you have to bring the little bit more expensive ones and you're guaranteed to sell. See, that's a trick.
Well, yeah.
Retailer.
You have to.
Yeah.
all of a sudden the horse trial, you buy $180 girth, and now it's like, oh, this is a very expensive event. Like, I realized how expensive this event is going to be when I had to have my horse drilled and tapped because they do show jumping in a grass arena. And drilling and tapping, and then I didn't have any of the equipment that goes with it because it's been so long since I've evented somewhere where you needed studs to put in your horse's shoes. So I had to go and I had to get all the stud equipment. BitOfBritain.com is loving me right now. They are loving me. Two separate orders.
If you need stud stuff, that's the place to go. Did you get one of the round drill taps there? The hand, the round
one? Of course.
Ones?
It's so worth the extra money. They have the little key tabs, the little round ones that they can step on. Oh, yeah, much better. And Jet is not well-behaved for anything to do with his feet. So, yeah, I definitely had to get one of those.
Yeah, they're like $20, but they're worth it. Definitely worth
now.
It.
Now.
And they'll last a long time. They won't break as easy as the other ones do either. So, well, that's all very exciting. You're getting ready to leave today, and you won't need the raincoat. It's California.
It rained last time I was there.
It
just rained sideways.
Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's Easy Signs Online Thursday edition, Hittim's adopted horsey and not horsey couple, Katie and Roger, I'm not sure if Roger's going to be here, but we're hoping so, are here with an update on the planned nuptials. There was a big announcement about a week ago. And another ESMA Awards newbie finalist is here to tell a story of Holly's Horse Haven, an interesting outfit over there in the UK. And last but not least, former intern Megan is here from the Chronicle of the Horse to fill us in on that venerable publication's Horses in Sport issue. Always looked forward to this time of year, so stay tuned for the carnival.
Oops, all right. I've lost my sound. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine, Glenn.
Are you still there?
I'm still
here.
What
just happened?
I don't know. Did you lose your sound too, Jamie?
I did. I guess thought Jennifer was running too long.
Jennifer, we just lost the end of you there. It's that we lost you at Chronicle. So the Chronicle's going to be here today.
Yeah, Megan's here.
Okay. If somebody could post on Facebook and let us know if we're still on the air, we'd be happy for you to do that so we know that we're still talking just to ourselves. I have two daily winnies today. My first one goes out to two friends of ours here from the Horse Radio Network, and I need to give them this. Happy birthday goes out to Sammy Joe. We talked about her yesterday and how her water buffalo fame today and ran the crooks off. Well, Sammy Joe's birthday today, so happy birthday, Sammy Joe, down there in Texas. And Viola Grabowska, it was on our Stable Scoop show this week. She is a she's a people trainer, actually, an equestrian trainer out of England. She travels around to different barns over there. And this is her second time to be on the Stable Scoop Show, where we talked about what it's like to run a training business, the ups and the downs. And we had a couple people on for a roundtable for that, but Viola was one of them, and it is her birthday as well. So happy birthday, Viola. And I have a second one. And my second daily winnie goes out to Puxatony Phil, who it's February 2nd, Jamie. February 2nd, Groundhog Day. And Puxatony Phil did his thing this morning. I actually watched it live, and they have quite a party that goes on up there in Pennsylvania for Groundhog Day. There were 18,000 people there, literally 18,000 people there. They had a fireworks that went off at about 6 o'clock, and they had singing and dancing and carrying on for like 2 hours before they actually dig the groundhog out of the tree stump and hold him up. And Puxatony Phil says 6 more weeks of winter. He saw shadows everywhere. So it was 6 more weeks of winter. Now, winter hasn't been very bad this year at all. Anywhere in the country, pretty much. So I think what he's saying is that winter's finally going to get here, and we're going to have 6 weeks of it. But that's what That's what the groundhog said today. Did you ever see Groundhog Day? I love that movie. Oh, did I lose Jamie now? Actually, I don't hear Jennifer either, so I don't know if I'm talking to myself or
I'm here.
On the air at this point. Are you there? Okay.
I'm here.
All right. I think we have lost to Jamie at this point. So we're going to keep going here, Jennifer, and hope that whatever problems we're having, has anybody posted on Facebook that we are still on the air?
Let's check Facebook.
No, we don't have anybody saying we're
but
still on the air.
But on the other hand, nobody's posted that we're not there either.
That's true. That is true. I would do Jamie's Daily Winnie for her, but I don't know what her Daily Winnie is. Jamie, are you back?
I do. I'm here. I'm like the whole time going, Glenn, I love Groundhog Day, the movie. Did you just go there?
And by the way, Jamie, we can barely hear you. I think you're going to need to reset your mic as well because you're coming through very, very quietly. So.
On the good side, Aubrey is listening in this morning. I see her listening in. And if we weren't really there, she'd tell us.
Well, that's true, but she's calling in, so she would hear us anyway, whether we're going out live or not.
Hey, I'm going with that, okay? I'm trying to be positive.
Jennifer, why don't you take a listen, listen to the live feed on the website.
Am I better?
Yeah, there you are.
I'll be
back.
That's
much better. So go take a listen and let us know if we're talking to ourselves or not. Yeah, so you like Groundhog Day? I love Bill Murray, that movie. I thought it was great.
I'm kind of sad that I realized that it's Groundhog Day and I'm not going to be able to watch it tonight because, my God, you know what? That movie gets, the first couple times I saw it, I'm like, this is like Groundhog Day, over and over, same thing, over. And as I've gotten older and I've watched it more and more and more, I appreciate it even more. It's awesome.
It's really like a chick flick. Groundhog Day was kind of a chick flick more than a comedy,
don't you think?
I thought it was.
That was definitely not a chick flick. It was disturbed and twisted and awesome. I mean, the guy, like, kills himself in 17 different ways, or 70 different ways, and he goes on the whole thing about trying to score with the chicks. That's definitely.
But he gets the girl in the end, doesn't he, if I remember right?
All right, we're going to put this up on our Facebook page. Is Groundhog Day a chick flick? Jennifer, can you ask that? Glenn thinks it is. I think it's not. Is Groundhog Day a chick flick? Or
it's a romantic comedy.
All right, whatever. Give me my Daily Win.
All right.
All right, my Daily Win. Yesterday, we had a little discussion about trucks and the kind of truck that was the most popular, and it was a bunch of crap because the tiny little Toyota Tacoma was like in the top 10 and all this stuff that you would, us horse people know better. We know that those are not real trucks. They're just kind of trucks. They look like trucks, but they're like, it's like having a mini horse pull a carriage. You got a mini horse and a mini carriage. You have a big horse, you got a big carriage. So I just had to give my Daily Winnie today to one of our listeners, Lindsay Nevitt. Because I thought that Lindsay had the best answer out there. Here it goes. I had an F-250 Ford, and I thought it was the best. It broke its back axle twice, had lots of front-end problems, 150,000 miles, and then I finally sold and bought the Dodge Cummins diesel. Love it! Thought Ford was the best, then I got a Dodge. Never had a problem, pulls a lot better, and I have a 9-horse trailer, fully loaded, no problems on the hills in Tennessee. Dodge is the way to go! And this is coming from an ex-Ford fan. Lindsay, you're my new best friend.
We had a lot of comments, and there were some Ford fans that, you did notice that there were some fans that did like their Fords. There were some Ford lovers that came out of the woodwork.
People do drink a little bit, and they decide that that's what they like. And, you know, maybe because Toby Keith drives a Ford, they think that they need to drive a Ford. Whatever, it's cool. Teach their own.
And your fellow Arizonian, Raven, drives the Ford, I noticed. A 69 Ford. How about that? That's probably the oldest
that's
one. That,
pretty,
that's pretty
anything
good.
Old like that is classic. Just classic.
Yeah. That is cool. And it looks like we still are on the air, according to Stacy and Wayne. We're coming through. Stacy said, you're on the air, but you sound pretty lame. No pun intended. So.
Oh, does that mean we sound terrible or we're talking about stupid stuff?
I don't know. I have no idea. But I think our first guest is on. Do you want to bring her on?
And this is not going to be lame. Let's take a trip back to where we met Katie and Roger. And it was because there was an area, I can't remember what area, Area 1 maybe newsletter, that Roger got published in. And it was about dating an eventer. Now, Katie and Roger have been on our show. They're kind of our adopted couple. We talk to them here and there, Valentine's Day, such as that. And Katie, I hear you have an announcement to make. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Please go. Tell us.
Oh, no, we have our special announcement is that we are now engaged.
Yay!
Yes. So Roger, I think he was trying to, you know, lock me in, make sure things were official before I left for North Carolina. So on last Monday, he popped the question, and then on Friday, we started the drive down.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Very excited.
So, okay. Let's hear the story. How'd he do it? What'd he do?
Well, I was doing my usual evening routine in bed, which was, you know, getting on Facebook and answering questions and emails and all that. And then he comes in, he throws his little terrier and corgi on the bed for bedtime, which was usual. And he looks at me and he says, in a very stern voice, "We need to talk."
Oh God! Oh God!
Don't love that, especially at bedtime.
And I thought,
what they say,
oh,
and your butt goes numb. Oh, you're in trouble. Okay, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I thought, oh heavens, it's finally over. It's been too good to be true. He hates the horses. He realizes this isn't going to end, and he does not want to have a farm. So, and then he came around, walked around to my side of the bed, sat down on the bed, and, you know, mentioned several I love yous and our life together, and then dropped to one knee next to the bed and asked me to be his wife and to marry him.
Oh.
So, yeah. And it must have been a little obvious that I was looking for the ring because there was no ring.
Uh-oh.
And then he said, well, look at Frankie. And his little dog had the ring box tied around his neck.
Oh,
and there it was. It was very sweet.
Oh my gosh! Congratulations. I can't hear these stories and not get teary-eyed.
Oh, thank you. We're very excited.
So, oh my gosh, that is just, yeah, great story. And so, you know, here's what's going to happen now is everybody's going to go, did you plan the date? Where are you going to do it? What are you going to do?
Oh.
What kind of dress are you going to wear? Did you get your dress? Did you get your bridesmaid dresses yet? How many bridesmaids are you going to have? What kind of flowers are you going to have at your wedding? What color are you going to have? Dude, has it started already?
Well, oh, yeah. And as last time we chatted, you know, it had started back then. You know, my mom and sister were planning the wedding. I don't know whose wedding they were planning, but I don't think it was mine. so we've decided that it's going to be very simple with our parents and our immediate siblings and probably in the field at the farm, and we'll do a simple ceremony. We'll have the horses loose around us with the dogs running in the fields, and then we'll all go and have a nice dinner, and that'll be that. So I think we're choosing the quieter, simpler version now, and then in the next few years, hopefully when we do have a farm, we'll have a big get-together and a big party to celebrate everything. So
Glenn, what I heard in that was that we're not invited.
That's what I heard, too. I was kind of waiting for the invitation, but no, not so much.
Well, if you all want to fly up to New Hampshire, you would be more than happy to come to our, or even more than happy to have you come to our party when we do have it. It's just a date yet to be determined at this time.
That's great.
I heard the words New Hampshire and date to be determined. Does that mean summertime or wintertime? Just clarifying.
Oh, summer. There's no way I'm doing that in winter.
Okay.
I'm not standing outside in winter.
There's a chance that we might come then.
Yeah, we might. Katie, I think this is just awesome, and I think it's so smart of you to, you know, you guys have dreams and aspirations of buying a farm, and here you are, like, being smart about it and not getting yourself into $40,000 worth of wedding debt because you want to get
exactly.
a that is a horse girl for you right there. That's my girl.
Well, you know, I was thinking, you know, we're so young. You know, Roger's just out of grad school and, you know, and finding work at this time. He has an interview today, so hopefully it goes well. But, you know, to spend that money on a wedding is wonderful, but neither of us have really been the wedding type. You know, when I was younger, I just wanted a nice dress and really good food. That's all I cared about. And, you know, and all the you know, the other wedding industry accoutrements and all that, it's just not quite up our alley. And we'd rather put that money into a property or in the future tuck it away in case we need to do a new roof or, you know, or some big expense. So we're trying to be smart about it. But then in the future, have a big celebration for life and our friends and family and all those we hold dear.
I think that's so smart and so responsible. Glenn?
Yeah, I was just wondering if we're on that list. Are we at least on that list of the ones who hold
dear?
Oh,
yeah, dear? No. Yeah, you're on the party list. That's called the master party list.
All right. Let's check it out. And I'm feeling – I got to tell you, though, Katie, I'm feeling very ineffective today because – I spent so much time warning Roger, giving him all the pitfalls of marrying a horsewoman. I tried my darndest, and he's still there.
He is still there, yeah, and he's even talking about, well, when we build a barn, how many stalls do you want? And we all know that's a dangerous question to answer. So, because if you build a stall, the horses will come.
It doesn't matter, Katie, because no matter how many stalls you have, you get more horses than that. If you have 3 stalls, you have 5 horses. If you have 10 stalls, you have 20 horses. Because then you find a neighboring barn that's right next door that's empty, and you go talk them into letting you keep your horses over there. I know how this works.
Oh, goodness.
I married an inventor girl. I know how it works.
Yeah.
Well, So I got to ask, Katie, because, you know, I'm just a little bit ahead of you. I married a very non-horse guy, and we now have the farm. And the next step is that he is actually, first of all, he wants to drive to California to come see my competition this weekend at Galway. That's crazy thing number one. I've never had anybody actually want to come to compete with me. You know, usually it's like you're coming whether you like it or not. So we've got that. But then the next thing is now he wants to start riding. Is Roger anywhere in that realm yet?
You know, last year when I came to Southern Pines for the first time, he came down to visit and rode my friend's daughter's bomb-proof pony. And we went on a 2-hour hack, and he had a great time. And finally, like in the last 15 minutes of the ride, started to relax. And I think he would really like a horse that is, you know, very quiet, like maybe a draft or a quarter horse type that he can go trail riding on or to do some fox hunting. I think he'd like to go hunting, but he's starting to warm up to it. I don't think he has any desire to compete, but he has, you know, he has insinuated, oh, wouldn't it be nice that we could go out and do a hack together on the roads? So we'll see.
Okay.
I think he's still a little overwhelmed with, you know, all right, so now we're engaged, and then we looked at each other and we're like, well, now what? So we're still piecing things together, but I'm sure that will come in the future.
Vegas, baby. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about this before. Just run off to Vegas. Get married. I know. The horses in the field thing is kind of cool that you're going to do that.
Yeah.
So I can't argue with that one. But, man, I think this is awesome. I am so excited for you guys. I'm so excited for Roger because he did, you know, marrying into the horse world. Glenn, you may, you know, whatever, you did it too. So you understand it is definitely a lifestyle change. But, you know, when I look at my husband and the life he had before me and the life he has now, I think he was looking for a change. You know, and this provided him with something that he can feel good about. You know, I mean, he was a single guy running around, and I think he was done with that. And maybe the same situation with Roger.
Yeah, well
like
Roger was holed up busy with his computer. So he, you know, so to get out and to meet all of these wonderful people, I think that's probably been one of the most rewarding parts of it for him, is we go to these events, and all my friends that I've known for years, they just say, oh, hi, Katie, how's Roger doing? Where's Roger? And so he's now, you know, the new greatest thing, and everyone just adores him, and he has so much fun with the culture and just the really nice people in the horse world. So it's been really, I think, a great experience for him, and he looks forward to going to events now. You know, provided I don't have a bad ride. That doesn't make for a good ride home. But he really, I think he's really embracing it.
Oh, that's great. Well, I am so excited for you guys. Do you have a time frame of when you wanted to do it in?
You know, we're not sure. We were thinking even as early as this fall, but we're just not certain. We haven't gotten wrapped up in that yet, and trying to figure a few other things out before we set a date. So, but I think it'll be pretty relaxed, which will be nice.
Yeah, the sooner the better, sister. Yeah. I'm telling you, being married is so much fun. I absolutely love it. It's awesome.
Well, I was going to say, I think if we waited any longer than the fall, then we're bounced into the spring, and then I'm down in North Carolina again, separated from him, you know, provided that land vest, my job will allow me to do this in the future. So I think we would like to do it sooner rather than later.
Good.
Yeah.
Just invite your family over one day and just surprise them with a wedding. That'd be awesome. Be like, oh, by the way, we're getting married right now.
Yeah, we're all trucking down to the field.
Give him a hayride down
there. Good luck, Katie. Good luck in the South, too. Have fun down there.
Oh, I am. It is just a dream down here.
I would say give Roger a hug, but he's not anywhere close. So
that's right.
Tell Lisa hi.
I will. I most certainly will. And thank you both for your sentiments.
All right. Bye, bye, Katie. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
She's a happy girl.
She is a happy girl, and you know what? I know you talk about the horse husband thing a lot, but why did you laugh when I said my husband was looking for a lifestyle change?
I just love how you were so sure that he was. Whether he was or not, he is. He was looking for a lifestyle change. It was just your confidence that sort of made me laugh.
Well, that's because I'm married to him, and I see him every day, and I see how much money he has out there. He wants to start building cross-country jumps now, okay? So he loves it. Why is it so hard for you to believe?
What Katie said is absolutely true. It's you get involved in the culture and the people, and then you become immersed in it. And we all make the mistake of, at some point, we assume we know more than our horsey wives that have been doing it since they were 2 years old. And we try and espouse our opinions on that, and that's a big mistake at the point where we try and do that. And then we learn from that, and we don't do that anymore because it never works out very well. But we all do that at some point or another, too. That's one of the mistakes we make. Has he gotten to that point yet?
No, that hasn't happened yet. But you know what? I think he has said something like, as I brought that up because you had mentioned it before, and I think he's like... He goes, the day I tell you how to ride a horse is the day you can tell me how to fly a plane.
It's not riding the horse. It's the barn and the grounds and where the jumps are and all of that. I made those mistakes. I know. Jennifer will tell you.
Well, it's not
anymore.
All bad. Yeah.
She can do it. No, it's not. Or I wouldn't still have be involved with it after 25 years. Right.
I know. I don't know why it's so hard for you to believe that a fighter pilot actually loves being on the farm and was ready for that. I'm telling you. You have no idea. I know they're not all super tough guys all the time, Glenn.
Okay. You ruined my fantasy. Well, how about EasySignsOnline.com? The good folks over there at EasySignsOnline.com have recently introduced two great new sign options. One is the faux carved text look. It's a printed smooth surface, New England style sign that has tremendous graphics, giving it a 3D carved look, only without the extra cost of an actual carved sign. They also offer a great-looking wood grain background option on their popular New England signs. You combine these two new options for a great traditional-looking maintenance-free sign that's sure to make your farm or business stand apart from the crowd for a fraction of the cost of an actual carved sign. And you can check out these two cool new options. Jennifer's going to post an image, a picture of one of these new signs with the wood grain background and that faux carved look. She's going to post it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page right now, so you can check it out. Visit EasySignsOnline.com today for all of your sign needs, whether you need signs or banners or magnets or decals. They have your sign needs covered. And Jamie, I don't know if you noticed, I posted a picture of our booth from over the weekend, last weekend at the Ada show. And every sign you see there must be 20 of them, it was made by EasySignsOnline.com. The signs, the banners, everything. This week's special is free shipping on most orders over $100. See the website for details and visit them at EasySignsOnline.com or give Wayne a call at 800-640-8180. Now you're going to have to get a new sign because they have this new cool-looking one now. You're going to have to just order another one.
I know. It sounds really awesome. So
it is cool-looking. It's really neat. I like it. I like it. Well, we're going to be getting to our next guest here in a minute. They're actually checking in with us from England, so we'll wait till they give us a call. But I know that there was some news, and I wanted to tell you that you're going out there to Galway. Something you have to know is that they're changing the bit check a little bit, and you're going to have to be aware of that. I don't
what
know if you read
doing?
That. Well, it says because of the EHV1 cases they found out there in California, horse trials are not required to follow the bit check procedure as it's been written. What they're going to do is they're recommending that the ring stewards conduct a visual check of the horses with no touching of the horse or equipment. Each rider should bring a halter to warm up and remove the horse's bridle in the presence of the steward to allow for a visual check of the bit. You know how they usually just open the horse's mouth and look in there. Well, they don't want them touching the horses, so you're going to have to bring a halter, and you're going to actually have to pop the bridle out and show them the bit.
No, 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 no. I am sorry. You
no?
can stick your finger in my horse's mouth. There, if I took a bridle off of my horse in the warm-up area, he'd be back to the barn in about 5 seconds.
That's why you're supposed to bring the halter. You put the halter on over, do that thing.
Again, this is not a Western horse. He does not wear halters when he wears his bridle. This is not going to happen. That is
well,
no.
Where
did
you
read that?
You can just walk down the warm-up ring without his bridle on, show it to him, and then put it on. Why take it
again,
off?
Again,
you know.
If I was to have my horse, are you messing with me?
Are you still that girl?
Of course I'm still that girl. I mean, he's better, but he's not perfect.
You feel picked on today, Jane.
You're right. I'm reading this. The USEF recommends that ring stewards conduct a visual check of horses. Each rider should bring a halter. Yes.
Well, thank you. You give me a lot of credit for being creative.
I seriously thought you were making it up because there is no chance that I'm going to unbridle my horse and release any sort of control in a warm-up area. And that is not going to happen.
Well, they're even going as far as to saying horses from California, like if they travel over to Arizona or another state for a competition, that they should only be visually checked as well, that you shouldn't even touch horses from California. And this, by the way, I did find on the Chronicle of the Horse. So.
Yeah, now what they usually do during the bit checks, for those who don't know, when you go down to the dressage arena, there are certain bits that are legal and illegal, and the ring steward always puts on a latex glove, or the bit check person, sticks his or her finger into the horse's mouth and kind of feels the bit to see what kind it is, and then they usually ask you. And the first time that Jet competed, I feel so bad about this. The lady comes up to Jed, and I was like, this is not going to be good. If you could just, like, stand still for a second, blah, blah, blah. He knocked her over. She walked up to him and goes to grab the bridle, and he swings his hips, and I couldn't do anything about him. He was dancing. He was a crazy idiot. She was not the brightest person to come up to a horse that looked like a fire-breathing dragon. And what I've now learned is that they can bit check afterwards. And that would have been probably a better idea. Bless her heart. But it's not good. He's not good for bid check.
Oh, well, you know, and sometimes if they see the horses, we've had many stewards, especially at the lower competition, where they're not, you know, they're not two-star and three-star, they'll just, you know, if they see the horses being bad, they give a very, very quick check and hardly barely even look, because they don't want to get their face bitten off either. So they're like, eh, it looks good.
This bit check lady was going to see it all. just was not a good idea for her, bless her heart. She will think twice about the next time a horse comes up to her prancing and dancing and frothing and bucking. And that was his first horse trial. So he's gotten better now. He's not so crazy. Hopefully.
Well, he did really well at the last one. I know we pick on you, but he did really well at the last one.
Yeah, his first novice, he ended up taking second place, and he just wasn't crazy the whole time. So I've got that time I had taken him, I had used a smart pack, like Ultra Smart Calm, which is a herbal calming agent, and I thought it maybe it worked well last time, so he's on it again this time. See if he stays
good
calm.
Idea.
Yeah, we'll
good
see.
Good idea. Hey, another story. Speaking of horse health, this is something you don't hear about. We'll have to have them talk about it on thehorse.com out of Arkansas. They have cases of pigeon fever reported. I don't know when the last time I heard about pigeon fever was, but apparently there have been a couple of cases in Fort Smith and El Paso have reported cases of pigeon fever, which causes abscesses and a mild fever. Jennifer, have we ever had a horse with pigeon fever? That's a new one.
I think that's a western part of the country issue, isn't it?
Well, they say it's more prevalent in drier climates, but the recent drought in parts of Arkansas explains why the disease is occurring there. So it sounds like it might be something you see in Arizona. Huh?
I can say we've never lived in a dry climate.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't
but
know.
But it's bad because they get these abscesses, and the reason it's called pigeon fever is because the abscesses protrude like a protruding breast of a pigeon. Ugh.
Really?
Ugh. Yeah.
Gross.
Sounds gross.
Gross.
Yeah.
I thought it was pigeon fever, like, because they got it from pigeons.
No, apparently it just looks, these abscesses are gross looking. And if we do that on thehorse.com on a Wednesday, please let me know, and you'll have another co-host. It'll be Alan's turn to fill in, because I'm not going to be around for that one. Protruding abscesses? No, never good.
Glenn, do you ever watch the TV show Tosh.0?
No.
It's a, you would love it for the most part. It's a TV show where a guy hosts a show and he's very funny. And it's definitely PG-13 plus. It's on Comedy Central. It's a guy that does a whole show about internet videos. And videos that are on YouTube or whatever, and he plays them. But there's a couple of them you would die. Like, I was watching it the other night, and he had one where they popped an abscess on a guy. It was just...
Oh!
It was pretty gross. But the show is very funny. It seems like the kind of thing you would like.
All right. Do we have any stories that aren't abscess-related?
Yes. Okay, I got one for you. This is crazy. Okay? This... Police in Sussex, England... had to issue a warning because somebody walked up to a vet truck, broke into the vet truck, and with all the drugs there, you're going to tell me they didn't know what they were looking for. But they took two bottles of what they call it, it's basically Torbogesic, Torb, which is a protected and controlled drug, and also Dormosedan. And there wasn't very much in each one of these, but Torb and Dorm, more commonly called here, are sedatives. And they're not the kind of drugs that these thieves think they're getting. Like, they think, oh, we got a horse tranquilizer. Well, that's ketamine. Ketamine is the one that most people really want if on the street. They took Torbogesic and Dormosedan. So there's going to be some really confused people when they realize that this is not ketamine, which is also the date rape drug. But apparently, these are potentially fatal to anybody who takes more than 5 cc's, either one of them. So they're trying to put the word out there. It was they think that the vet truck was initially targeted for its iPod and satellite navigation because those were also taken along with documents and stuff like that. But also the fact that they took just the sedatives leads me to believe there's a little bit of confusion there. But apparently it can kill somebody.
Yeah.
They're going out there and saying, anybody who's being offered to sell this stuff or is being offered to buy this stuff, please don't. They're having to put out public service announcements. Don't take these drugs. They'll kill you.
Wow. Okay. Yeah,
no.
Not a good idea. Yeah, never.
Crazy story. But I just remember working for all the vets, you know, when we would stop somewhere for lunch, how they would always have to lock up every single one of those little pop-up things because people steal drugs out of their car. That's so weird to me, but so gross for their own use.
Yeah, and, you know, you see the vet trucks, you know, everybody knows there's going to be drugs in them, and I'm sure that the people who break into them have no idea what's in there. They don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
They're just taking
definitely.
Whatever they can take at that point. Well, we're still waiting on our guest here, so calling in from England. We hope that they show up. In the meantime, why don't we take our break and go to our song, and we'll come back. And, you know, if we don't have a guest, we have a very funny video that Jamie saw that I'm going to try and get the audio together here for you that we can play after. You want to do that? How about we talk about that one today? It was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. It's classic. Classic.
Okay. All right, so this song is by Alan Moorhead, guest on the Western Radio Show last week, and I know you like her music. She's 17 years old. Her name is Chancy Neal. She is a barrel racer, and this song is Girl with the Guitar.
I like it already.
Thought you would.
Out on your own. I got a hug from Mama, still on my mind. But Daddy's little girl is doing fine. Tears in my eyes, a smile on my face. The rest of my life starts today.
so good.
Yeah, she's
that
great
is,
for 17.
Man.
Wow.
Girl with a Guitar, 17 years old. This name of the song is Girl with a Guitar. You can find it on iTunes. Her name is Chancey Neal, C-H-A-N-C-I-E, Chancey Neal. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by EasySignsOnline.com. And we've got this video. We got this video for people. And I actually saw this on Eventing Nation and just had to share it. I shared it on my Facebook page, but Glenn saw it and was like, we have to put this on the show. It's okay, picture this, if you will, because we're going to play the audio and you still can't really see what's going on. So let's post this on our Facebook page as well so people can go watch along with us. But it's, where's Bryant Park? I think it's in New York City. And
I think so too, or New Jersey, one of the two, yeah.
Yeah. So Bryant Park is what it says, and it's just a regular day at the park, and they have a merry-go-round. And there's just a bunch of kids waiting in line for the merry-go-round, and, you know, it's like, hey, their turn. Not to mention the fact that when the kids run up and jump on the merry-go-round, they actually seatbelt them now. Did you notice that in the video, they put seatbelts on the kids?
Oh, I didn't notice that. Really?
Yeah. They strapped these kids into the merry-go-round, but that's a different
topic. But to do it 90 miles an hour? I mean, it's pretty mellow.
Well, it was mellow.
Do they make them
until...
wear helmets, too? They have little helmets lined up there, and they make them wear helmets? I didn't see any helmets.
Just seatbelts, Glenn, just seatbelts. So it's so hard to just explain, but... picture Rajiv Marah. And if you know who Rajiv Marah is, he's the jockey that used to ride Mucho Macho Man. He's an Indian fella. And apparently, this guy, I think he's wearing his silks. So this Indian guy walks up in full jockey costume and proceeds to mount one of the horses in the merry-go-round. And this is what follows. So you can't really see him walking up, but oh my gosh. Check this out.
And I will tell everybody that this is the improv group Improv Everywhere. And they do these kinds of things. And you just go to YouTube and look up Improv Everywhere. They have a ton of these videos, and they are the best improv group I've seen. They're very good. So here we go. You hear the sound to it. I'm hoping. I got to jerry-rig this. Right. This was an impromptu thing here this morning. Improv. This is improv.
So they're kind of showing the people at the park.
Here comes the jockey walking up to the merry-go-round. Oh, they are strapping
like.
The kids in. You're right. They have seatbelts. Here comes the jockey walking up to the merry-go-round. He's going to sit on a horse. And the kids are going, wow.
Welcome to Bryant Park and the 143rd running of the Bryant Park Stakes. I'm Alex Cordell. Here with me is Ben Rogers. Ben, we have a terrific race on our hands today.
Blue skies overhead. Really dry, fast track out there. These animals are going to move.
And the spectators are filing in, Ben. Everybody is dressed to the nines. There's some heavy-duty action over at the betting table. Now let's throw it down to the track for the call to the post by the trumpeter.
Thank you.
This was a historic race. A rookie jockey upsetting the veteran jockey. And we're going to throw it down to Ben Rogers at the track. He's down at the winning circles with the winning jockey. Ben?
We are here with the winning team, of course. A lot of people didn't
pick
the
rabbit. He's like 5 years
old. What amazing riding. How do you feel about the race today?
Good.
You feel good? Any tips for any other riders? How do you think you pulled off the victory?
Good.
Very good. It's good enough for me. And why did you pick the bunny?
He wanted to,
and he did it. Alex Gordonellis, let's throw it back up to you in the booth.
Thanks, Ben. What a thrilling race. For Ben Rogers, I'm Alex Gordonellis, signing A's, Ryan Park Stakes.
And here comes the frog!
These guys are so good. You have to check out some of their other videos. They have some excellent videos. And, you know, obviously it's well planned. They must have had, 20 actors there. They were all dressed up like they were going to the races in the 40s or 30s. And they had the cigars and they had the betting boards. And then all this whole audience comes over and watches. I just love these things. I think it was so good.
It's like a flash mob. You know how that got
yes.
so popular, everybody all of a sudden would show up in the same minute, they would start dancing. This is like a flash mob around a merry-go-round related to riding horses. So fun. And the people around are like, what is going on? The kids are like, there's a jockey. Hey, wait, huh? What? And then the guys start talking. It's just classic. It's just classic. So thanks, Eventing Nation, for posting that one. I just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Good job. Well, our highlight show for the Horse Radio Network today is the Dressage Radio Show. And Chris, of course, is down there. She checked in with us last week. She's still down in Wellington. Apparently, Jamie, Chris is in no hurry to leave Florida. Not sure why. Palm trees, sunshine,
yeah.
and beaches. Not sure why. But she's still down there. She notified me yesterday that she's going to spend another week. She's going to extend
what?
It a week.
Are you serious? She extended her yeah. stay?
Yeah, so he's not coming home anytime soon. But we did this show for the Dressage that came out today, Dressage Radio Show, episode 141. It was all about the World Dressage Masters, which we reported here on Monday, that Stephen Peters won. And she did an interview, a short interview with Stephen Peters, and I thought I would share that interview with everybody. And then she interviewed about five of the other riders also. It was a great show. And you can hear the excitement in everybody's voices as they were down there at the World Dressage Masters. And here is her interview with Stephen Peters.
But also we have, of course, a lineup of guests this week, so we want to get started. First of all, we're going to hear from Stephen Peters and his response to this week's wonderful win at the Masters. Well, Stephen joins me now after a very, very tight finish there to retain your title. Stephen, a big smile on your face tonight.
Yeah, very big. It's been like that for the last 45 minutes since I got out of the ring. You know, what a fantastic show. You know, that's what we want for the sport, to be this close. And I think when it's this close, some of the judges probably didn't even know how, you know, who the winner was. And I think if it comes out that close, it's just wonderful.
Well, as you said, all the buttons you pressed tonight, this show, all worked out. He was just where you needed him to be, and you got the answers you needed. How would it compare, say, with the Masters last year, and how he's been performing over the course of the year?
Well, this year, you know, we've got new music, a bit more emotional, some incredible highlights. The music is so extremely custom-made. I mean, it's recorded with an orchestra, so... The downside of this is there's absolutely no room for mistakes. Like if you're 1 second behind the music or ahead of the music, it looks ridiculous. And you know, that's the difficult part. So we had to pull out all our stops tonight and risk it in the extensions and the flying changes, making the pirouettes even tighter. And you know, it was a bit more difficult if you go before Charlotte and Tina. You know, you had to risk it without knowing what they would do.
Well, what was the thinking behind changing your music, you know, a whole new Kerr? Was it just that he was in that stage of his career with you that you thought it was time for a change?
Yeah, we thought the music before was a bit more, you know, a little wilder, a little younger. And a lot of people said, you know, you don't need that much rhythm in the music. You know, go with something a little bit grand, a little bit more emotional. And I think that's what we accomplished.
So you're going to stick with this then through the year?
Yeah, this is it. You know, we put so much work into this freestyle. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people said, especially in Europe, said, you know, it almost sounds a bit religious. And I said, do me a favor and take a look at the movie. And I got so many emails back where they said afterwards, you know what, you're right, because this movie says so much about connecting nature, humans, and animals, and it sends a wonderful message. And anybody who hasn't seen the movie listens to the music, they get first a different reaction, but after they see the movie, they say, I really get it.
Well, you obviously take the Masters seriously to come over again. You know, we only have one on this on these shores anyway. Now, how put this in context of the preparation for the Olympics this year, how important this is and what you'll be doing for the rest of the year.
This was probably, you know, the biggest highlight before the Olympic Games. You know, we're debating about the World Cup, but, you know, it is a lot for Ravel. And, you know, if something would go wrong, we would say later on, you know, why did we actually do the World Cup? So, you know, this decision needs to be made. He's ready. He's ready to go. I'd love to do it, but Ravel has the first vote.
Well, that was Stefan Peters from the Dressage Radio Show, episode number 141, which is now live as of today. And I know all you dressage fans out there are going to be waiting to hear this one. She had a lot of terrific guests on, Carl Hester and several others. She also had Charlotte Desjardins from England, which we talked about on Tuesday here, and I said over and over and over again, so I just thought I'd want to say that name again. She's absolutely delightful, Charlotte, and you're going to want to hear her interviews. Check it out! Just go to dressageradio.com.
Wow. No wonder she's loving it. She's hanging out with Stefan Peters and Ravel, and I know she was the other morning, saw on Facebook that she was watching Heather Blitz do her with Paragon. She was doing her musical freestyle and running through it for the first time, and Chris is like standing there watching it. So that, no wonder she don't want to come home.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice environment down there. You got all the jumpers down there, you have all the dressage riders, and you have palm trees and cocktails. So
yeah,
not bad. Yeah,
it's win-win. Completely. Nice.
And especially after the groundhog told us today, 6 more weeks of winter in the north, I don't think we're ever going to see Chris back in Lexington. I think she's just staying.
Well, she took her dogs with her, and she doesn't have a horse, so that'd be the only reasons that I would go home, and they're all with her. So she's like the one-man traveling apartment.
That's true. Very true. Well, yeah, let's go to Megan over at the Chronicle.
Megan, are you there? Hello.
Well, we're going to try and go to Megan. Let's see if can,
your computer acting up. So every week we talk to the Chronicle of the Horse about various things and with various people. And Megan, this is former intern Megan, not just Megan, although I still call her intern Megan, with the Chronicle of the Horse. And Megan, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning. Yeah,
good morning.
I can hear you just fine.
Yeah, how are you guys?
Well, we're doing very well. We're doing very well. Now, I understand you have something that isn't even out yet. So it's like breaking news. Is that correct?
Well, it's actually, it's not up on our website. We just finished our annual American Horses and Sport issue. And we put so much work into doing that. You know, we go through all of 2011 and we kind of profile. Are you guys there?
Yes, we're here.
I'm listening.
Yep.
Okay, sorry, you blanked out. We put you know, a roster together of all the big, for example, show jumpers, you know, horses that have had Grand Prix wins in the States, and dressage horses who have had Grand Prix wins, and regional winners and all that kind of stuff. And then we, as a staff, we get together and we pick our horses and horsemen of the year. So, you know, we started on this kind of stuff way back in the, you know, we've had deadlines, just they've been rolling deadlines on and on and on. And so it came out on January 30th. So it was last week's it was last week's issue, but our next magazine's not coming out until next Monday, so it's kind of like it's what's going on right now. We haven't put anything up online besides the fact if you are a subscriber and you can read it online, you can read it there. But I thought that for some of you guys that maybe haven't read it or haven't gotten it, we could discuss what, you know, here as a staff we picked as our top horses and horsemen of the year.
Yeah,
So you haven't seen it. So you're telling me you haven't seen it at all?
No, have not seen it.
That means I can make you guess. First of all, we choose an overall horse and horseman of the year.
This is all disciplines, all sports.
Yeah, that we cover. So we choose a dressage horseman and horse, an eventing, a show hunter, a show jumping, a steeplechasing horse, and a driving, and all that kind of. So just our stuff that we cover.
What are we picking for?
For the overall, who do you think, you know, you have to think who had a standout year, horse and rider, and who do you think we would have picked?
Well, I gotta go first. I think it's the guest we just heard from on the air here, Stephen Peters.
Okay, I'm going to go with Neville Bardos.
Okay. you guys, let's see. The overall dressage horse, he's the dressage horse and the overall horse.
Ravel?
Is actually Weltino's Magic. And the dressage horseman of the year is Stephen Peters. So you kind of crossed over there because Boyd Martin, who of course rides Neville, was our overall horseman of the year. So, of course, Neville had a lot to do with that. But and then Stephen Peters had a lot to do with our overall dressage horse. So you guys were kind of right.
Oh, but
you were sort of right. You're not completely right, but they were in there somewhere. So, yeah, we chose go ahead.
Just give us a category, like narrow it down, like dressage horse of the year, eventing horse of the year, and then we'll guess.
Okay, who was our eventing horse of the year?
Neville Bardos.
No.
Oh, wow. Let me think then. Not Neville Bardos as the eventing horse of the year.
No, because we chose Boyd Martin as our overall horseman, and so that was a big
deal. Oh, they can't win twice. Okay.
Well, I mean, Neville and Boyd together was kind of, that's an understanding that way.
Yeah, so eventing horse of the year.
This horse is kind of had a big year, completed and placed well in a couple four stars. His rider is a girl.
Is it Kim Severson's horse?
It's not.
Okay. is it American horse?
Yes, these are all American horses. It is Sinead Hoffman's horse, Manoir de Conneville. So we chose him. He had a really great year at Rolex and then going over to Europe. So what we do here is we have profiles of these horses. So when you pick up a copy, it's a big thick. It's one of our big special issues. So you can read a bit about why they had such a standout year, you know, what kind of went into our discussion as to how we chose this, you know. So, I mean, he was third at Rolex in 2011. They went over to England. They were 15th at Burley. And they won the advanced horse trials at Southern Pines and were fourth at the Fork. She had, you know, she's serious about, you know, trying to make the Olympic team with this horse. They call him Tate. And it's just a nice standout year for him, so that's why we chose him.
Well, that's good. That's terrific. And I think Sinead's very nice, too. We've had her on the show here before, and she's a sweetheart. So
yeah, and
good for her.
You know, she writes a blog for us, and she always writes interesting. She's a very good writer as well. So, let's move along. Who do you think our show jumping horseman of the year was?
Show jumping horseman.
Or woman, of course.
Just don't know that much about the show jumpers. Glenn, do you have a guess?
I actually know more about the British show jumpers just because of our segments we do
here.
Well,
think about what kind of big international event happened recently, the Pan Am Games. Think about if there was somebody there who had a...
trying to remember. Actually, I'm trying to cheat, and I'm not even doing very well there.
All right, I'll tell you. Gosh, you're going to cheat. I might as well just tell. It's Christine McCree. She, she's, she won, you know, individual gold at the Pan Ams in Guadalajara. And, of course, she was also part of the team, the gold medal team at Pan Ams. But, you know, she also competed in, you know, Nations Cup over in Europe, different Nation Cup competitions, and she is trying really hard to make the Olympic team this year, and so it's really exciting. She's got a great story, so you should – I'm not going to tell you all about her story because then you wouldn't have to pick up the magazine. But
Okay. Yeah, I'm doing about as well at this as I do Words with Friends with Jamie. I'm just having you know.
Well, let's move into the hunter disciplines then.
Okay. Well, we'll be worse there.
Okay. Well, great. That's great then. Who would be our pick as the horse and the horseman? Anyone throw it around there?
I got this one. I would say that the horse of the year would be the horse Dedication. And the
you are
horseman.
Right.
Thank you. And Andre DiGelli and Heritage Farm.
You are right. You are reading this, aren't you? You found it. You've gotten the link.
No. I keep up to date on all the Chronicle of the Horse Hunters stuff.
Okay. Well, yes, that is right on both accounts. I actually profiled both of these. I did the Hunters this year. So Scott Stewart rides Dedication. He's owned by Glenn Sink, and it was his first year in U.S. competition, and he had just a ton of success, basically. You know, he was Grand Hunter champion 3 times, and he's a first-year horse. And, you know, he also was, you know, pretty stellar in a bunch of Hunter Derbies. And the man who owns Glenn Sink is, he's very involved in the fashion world, and he has several horses with Scott Stewart and Ken Berkeley at River's Edge, and something that made me laugh was that he likes to give his horses all their barn names after famous actors that he finds to be particularly attractive. But this gelding is actually named after Matthew Morrison, and so they call him Matt in the barn. And there's another horse of Scott Stewart's, if you recall. This is Dedication, and there's Declaration. And Declaration's barn name is Jake, after Jake Gyllenhaal. So, you know, there's a pretty star-studded barn there.
I don't find Jake Gyllenhaal that attractive. Do you, Megan?
I don't know. It depends. I mean, I guess I wouldn't. I'll tell you. I mean, the top of my list right now is Ryan Gosling. So I don't know. You're right. He's got pretty blue eyes. Let's give him that.
You know, ever since I saw Jake Gyllenhaal in the Gay Cowboy movie, I found him unattractive. However, Heath Ledger, who was also in that movie, I find incredibly attractive. So is that weird?
I don't know if you would say that's weird. I just don't. I mean, I think that's just human, you know? Sometimes
Who's at the top of your list, Jamie, right now? I haven't heard that lately.
Oh, God. I don't know. It's so ever-changing. Like, I like the door closed. Okay, I like the Dirty Boys. Like, Sawyer from Lost was so hot. And I used to be a huge Keith Urban fan until he married Skeletor, and so I don't like him anymore.
Well, you know, I guess normally, I mean, I think Ryan Gosling's been kind of just taking over. People are being crazy about him. You know?
Oh, I know Bradley Cooper. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. He looks like he could be a bit of trouble. I wonder if maybe they're going to name any of the horses of their barn after those guys. Maybe.
Let's just suggest Bradley. I'm going to change my new horse's name again. Just make him Bradley.
is Bradley Cooper the one from The Hangover with the beard?
He's the...
Yes.
Yeah, he's the
okay.
one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just trying to picture the right guy. All right, good. All right.
Google him. Just Google Brad. I'm going to do it right now. Bradley Cooper shirtless and see what comes up. Bradley Cooper.
I'm nervous to Google anything with that second word in it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Anyway, well, I'm sure that you guys, I don't know if you keep up with Siebel Chasing. Siebel Chasing is certainly, it's really popular up here, you know, in Virginia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania.
Okay, there's like 10 million photos of Bradley Cooper shirtless. So just Google Bradley Cooper shirtless and go to images. It will knock your socks off. This is my favorite thing so far.
Yeah, Megan, the filter at the Chronicle will block you from doing that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm allowed to do that while I'm in the office. I'll have to put it on my to-do list when I get home tonight.
I'm going to be getting a call later in the day. She's not allowed to come on anymore because you're corrupting her and she's causing trouble here at the office.
Yeah.
I got to get that call later in the day.
I'll get punished. No, we've got a good group here. I don't know if we spend a bunch of time Googling shirtless actors, but you never know. You know, sometimes we need a 5-minute break. So,
exactly.
All right, so I think Siebel Chasers we're not going to be much good at.
Yeah, you're probably not going to be much good at anybody else, in fact. But just going
driving.
Down the...
How about driving? Tell me about driving. What did you have one for driving?
We only choose a horseman of the year, so you can give it a... Take a stab at that.
Is it Chester again?
Yes, it's Chester again.
All right.
Chester. So, yeah, down the list, yeah. So Chester won in the driving category. And the steeplechasing horses, Lake Placid and Urban Naylor, was our horseman. And like she mentioned, Andre Dignelli and his Heritage Farm had a fantastic year. So they took the horseman for show hunters, and Dedication took the horse. We mentioned Chris McCrae, who took the horseman for show jumping, but Coral Reese of Old BZ Madden's little mare, we named her our show jumping horse of the year. And yeah, Boyd Martin, he got the eventing horseman, but also the overall horseman title. And then Waltina's Magic got the overall horse and dressage horse because he's pretty much was undefeated on the small tour. So, but you know, it's nice. It's interesting. Certainly the Boyd Martin and Neville story has been told a lot. And not just in horse publications, you can, you know, Google it and it's all over the place in regular mainstream media. But, you know, our senior editor, Kat Netzler, did that write up and she wrote a really, it'll definitely bring tears to your eyes, I would say. So she also, you know, kind of blogged about, she had a blog up the other day on our website about the fact that we talk so much about Boyd Martin because, one, he's very fun to talk to, and, two, he wins a lot. He's got a lot of stuff going on. So she said, what am I going to be able to tell in this story that people haven't heard before? And there's just a lot in there. There's just a lot of stuff in there that is just really amazing. So that is definitely worth picking the entire magazine up for as far as I'm concerned.
Well, good deal. So definitely everybody check that out. That's Chronicle of the Horse, chronofhorse.com. Now, there is one other thing I wanted to ask you about before we let you go, just to kind of get your professional opinion on it, is, you know, the court case that just ended.
With
I know you wrote
Nunnick.
An article. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Christine Nunnick, and apparently a California judge has ruled that she was not negligent in the death of a student in 2006. Now, tell everybody, just can you give us like the Reader's Digest version of that?
Yeah, basically she was the coach of a 17-year-old girl named Mia Erickson, and Mia wanted to move up to show the two-star at Galway in November of 2006, and they'd, you know, they'd been competing, you know, at pretty much the same level leading up to it. But Mia went on the cross-country course and had four stops at different fences. And even though after your fourth stop she was eliminated, she went on, continued to take the course. And so, of course, the show management, everyone was trying to figure out how to, you know, help make her pull up or whatever, but when she jumped the next fence, the horse didn't quite make it, and so she fell off and went over, and the horse fell back on her. It was what we say a rotational fall, and it ended up being fatal for her. She was taken to the hospital, but she didn't make it. So, you know, after that, what happened was that the parents ended up suing Christy as well as USCF, USCA, and Galway Downs and all that kind of stuff. And basically,
no, let me read this, because they ended up suing USEF, USEA, Delmar Eventing, Galway Downs, the property owner, the course designer, and the competition management.
Right.
And the trainer, obviously, too. Now, kind of continuing.
Which is, by the
that,
way, that is what you do when you sue. You sue everybody.
Yeah,
that's
I guess so.
What you do.
Well,
yeah,
originally, yeah. I think that what they did was that they filed a claim with Christie's insurance company, and of course they denied it. So then they went ahead and filed the lawsuit. But basically, it's been, I don't know, 4.5-5 years in the making to get to this point. There have been a couple of appeals. I'm sorry?
What's it, Megan? What do you know, what the judge, what he said in his ruling, why he went the way he did?
Well, basically, there just wasn't any – first of all, there were a couple points. They questioned the liability waiver that was brought up into there. But basically, you know, the liability waiver, when you sign that to train with somebody, says that you you are aware that you're making your own decision.
You're leaving them of responsibility, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there was that. And basically, they were also suing for negligence. And he basically just said there was nothing about the girl's decision that the trainer could have done to have made it more safe or had made it more dangerous. You know, I think that's basically what she ended up saying, that they went through it and he heard, you know, their half of the case and then just didn't bother to hear Christy Nunnick and her lawyers half of it, because he just said there was really no evidence, no factual evidence that would make it that she was liable for Mia's death. So it was just, I think, it's probably been a tough road. I think a lot of people, it's just a very sad story, because they also lost their other daughter.
You said in your article that the trainer was, you know, she was messed up about this, too. She was felt awful.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Going to the trial.
She spoke a lot about that, too, and how, you know, she was, it's just the stress, just even of, you know, this last past Monday, just because, you know, you get drilled by lawyers and whatnot. And she, you know, and she said, it's sad. You know, she's, when you speak to her, she's very open about the fact that it's just, you know, she said that she had to rewatch the video of the accident. And she said it's taken her nearly 5 years to, you know, get the vision out of her head. And so she's had to watch it again. And it's hard, you know, it's not that just the, certainly the family is going through it, but she also went through it too. And so I think she probably feels mostly relief, but I think it's been a hard go for her. So, but I mean, it's just a sad story, because the family lost their other daughter in 2003 in another riding accident. So you can just imagine the grief that parents would be going through in something like this. So,
you know, and that's kind of the thing is you know, I don't know much about the litigious society, but I know that, like you said, Glenn, they will just sue, people will sue everybody. And unfortunately, it comes down to very sue-happy people in the equestrian world. And this is a seriously sad story about a girl. You know, apparently, they sued the college when the other girl fell off because her horse got spooked, and she fell off and passed away, and they sued the what'd you say, Glenn? What, Fresno State or something?
Yeah, Fresno
because
State.
Yeah, I think it's Fresno State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they sued the college. In this situation, it, you know, you've lost a child, and it's devastating. To me, it just seems so frustrating that they would reach out and try to get, you know, I guess I don't understand the get money from everybody kind of thing and make this person pay. Between suing the United States Equestrian Federation, the USEA, Del Marva, the Galway Downs, management, the designer, the trainer. Why? I don't understand the need to do that, I guess. And maybe that makes me kind of naive, but I don't get the where that comes from.
Well, I mean, I think that you probably have gotten to a point when you hit this point again, you're just, who knows if you're, I think the grief is just really what takes over. So you kind of take, you know, a lawyer, you go to a lawyer at some point, do they need to, and the lawyer advises you, and you're so probably, you know, just hurt by everything, that maybe you're not thinking clearly. Who knows? But regardless,
well, I think what you said is right. The lawyer too. You know, you're in grief, and you have a lawyer that's saying, you need to do this because we need to make sure this doesn't happen to another child. And
yes.
Once you say it that way to a grieving parent, they're going to sue anybody that the lawyer says to sue, you know, and that's what's going to happen. And you sue everybody hoping that you get money out of something out of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why you sue everybody. But, yeah, it's just a sad story all the way around. I mean, they lost both their kids. And how ironic is it that they lost both their kids in riding accidents, both of them?
I know. It's sad.
That's just,
I noticed somebody commented on our website underneath the article and said, if this article is correct, then how is it possible that they lost both daughters in riding accidents? You know, like, how is that even possible, was what they said. And who knows?
I mean, riders do die, you know, on a regular basis. We watch the news every day, but not that many. And to have two in one family is where that, when I read that, you put that in the last paragraph of your story, and that's the part that blew me away, you know? That was the paragraph that I went, oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't even begin to imagine, right? I mean, devastating doesn't even cover it for a family, for a family that way.
No.
So.
Well,
I think that Christy Nunick handled it very well. You know, so many people, when they win a court case, they come out, I won. But she came out and she was like, you know, win or lose, this is just a very sad story. And these parents have lost both their daughters in riding accidents. And she just kind of came out, I'm sure, relieved, but kind of still remembering that she lost a student, and I'm sure it was very, very hard for her, with or without a lawsuit, to do something like that. And I think she just handled herself with class. I don't know this person, but I'm going to Galway this weekend, and I will definitely look for her and go shake her hand for having class. But
yeah, she was like really, really classy about it all, and not easy to talk about it afterwards, but just, you know, sat right down and gave me the interview. So that was, you always appreciate that as a journalist as well.
I'm going to compliment the author too, Megan. You did a good job with this article.
Well, thank you.
Well done.
Thank you very, very much.
Sorry.
Well, thank you,
well,
Megan,
thank you
for coming on. Yeah, thanks for coming on with us. And
no problem.
I know we kept you way past your time, but
no,
I appreciate it.
No, it's fine. I'm just, we're working away at our dressage breeding issue here. So gave me a couple minutes to not think about dressage breeding.
We'll get back to work.
All right. Well, thanks. You guys have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks.
ChronoHorse.com. You can see Megan's article right on the front page right now. So check it out over there. And we'll talk to you again next time, Megan.
Bye.
Yeah, that is a set. You know, we read these stories all the time, don't we? Because you and I, we follow every news story that has a horse in it around the world. And yet, the odds of this happening, I can't imagine how those parents felt. I just can't imagine. But I'm also glad that the trainer, because, you know, we all run a horse businesses, and there's a certain inherent danger to that, and that's the reason we haven't signed liability contracts, and why in Kentucky there's big signs everywhere, is because it is dangerous. And now, I do have a question for you. She had four refusals, and then she was – in that day, as I remember it, you were able to continue. You're just not under. You're not getting scored anymore. With the new rules that have come into play since then, they do pull you up and stop you. You don't get to go on, right?
Well, no, basically, back then she should have excused herself. You know, and the jump judge at the previous jump with her last refusal should have said something like, "You're excused." You know, unfortunately, sometimes the jump judges, you know, they're just volunteers. But
not all of them have radios either. So,
right,
you know, yeah.
I would have thought that the jump judge at the next fence, who probably also will never forgive themselves, should have jumped out and waved their arms and said, "You're done. Stop."
Yeah, and who knows if they even knew, you know, at that point.
Exactly,
they may not have had a radio
exactly
either. Yeah.
But it really should be the rider who excuses himself. She should, I mean, you know, this is not worth anything now, but she probably should have stopped. You know, I mean, if I was eliminated, I stopped it. You can't go anymore. You're done. However, it used to be 5 refusals, and now it's 4. And, you know, maybe she didn't know the rule changed.
Is it 4 or 3? I always thought it was 3. Is it 4?
Four total, three at the same jump. Four total.
Okay. All right, great. I got you. Okay.
It used to be five. I think it's four now, yeah. So, I don't know. Now I got to read the rule books for this weekend. You got me all confused.
No, you don't, because you're not going to have any refusals. Cross country, he is a whiz.
I'm knocking on wood, baby. Knocking on wood. Well, yeah, I'm going to get out of here because I'm driving to California, and I will be coming to you live from Galway Downs tomorrow morning from my very fancy studio called my horse trailer, and where I will be most likely have just fed. No, actually, even earlier. So I'll still be in my pajamas when we're talking tomorrow. It's like
and,
every other day.
Gonna have the, are you going to have the boss there, or is he? You're not sure yet. You're going to try and round him
up. Robert Kellerhouse, the owner of Galway Downs, is going to actually be on with us tomorrow morning right around, he's cussing because he's an hour earlier. So it's 7 o'clock his time, where it'll be almost 10 o'clock our time. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about the course and what he thinks and see us for the weekend. So probably Glenn's going to go, well, what do you think about who she's competing against? Have you looked in the novice division and how bad is she going to get her butt kicked? I can totally hear you saying something like that.
No, I'll have already checked it out, and see, I'm going to check out who you are competing against.
Three of the girls in the thing are, in the actual my division are from my barn, so are from Barb's barn. So we all know each other. We're like, sweet, we can ride down together and warm up together and ride together. It's great. So it'll be good. But I did notice there's a couple bigger names in there. So my little $400 thoroughbred competing against the $100,000 Southern California warm bloods. We'll see how he does. It doesn't matter. We're just going out to have a good time. Whatever. I want to win.
Well, good. I'm glad you're going. I think it's so exciting that you're getting to do this. And I did want to say, is Gina Miles in your division? I'm just checking.
Oh, God. I am in the rider division, so no. Gina Miles is definitely not in my division. So she rides in the, I'm sure, the very, very, very professional upper scale divisions.
Because if she was riding in your division, I was going to have to put my money on her. I'm sorry, but
yeah, I would have too.
All right, Jamie, you have a great trip and be safe out there.
Okay, thank you very much. Coming to you from California tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. Make that appointment, spay, neuter, and geld.
And don't take the mountain route. Go to the freeway.
Yeah, all freeway, baby, all the time. Map Quest, Google Maps.